In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
That's not an endorsement, though. Not an endorsement from Nikki Haley. Welcome to the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zioli, with you again today from WPHT in Philadelphia. Nikki Haley did not endorse Trump. Her speech was lame. It was pathetic because she still will not back the, not in all likelihood he'll be the nominee. He's going to be the nominee. He basically is. He's got to get over the, obviously, the delegate line, but he's going to be, and there's nobody else running, and he's the nominee, and yet Nikki Haley is still being petty about the whole thing. And I think her strategy is a huge mistake, but it's typical of what you'd expect from the Republican establishment. Although even Mitch McConnell came out today, begrudgingly, and said Trump will have his support. But I don't know. I wonder, after Donald Trump trounced Super Tuesday last night, if you're going to see some Republicans hoping deep down inside that he loses. Because they know that the swamp is not going to want him in there for another 4 years. And Nikki Haley may be playing the game of saying, like, hey, listen, you know, if he loses, I can say, see, I told you so. If he goes in there and he does a bad job, I can say, see, I told you so. But either way, it's coming across selfish and it's coming across petty. And it's not a good look because the race is over. It's been over for some time now. And what she should do is endorse Donald Trump and say it's time for the Republican Party to unite and be united around him because we have to defeat Joe Biden because Joe Biden is the problem. It's a big day today as we look at post-Super Tuesday analysis, and I have some for you on the Democrat side as well. Meanwhile, in Georgia, there's a hearing going on investigating the district attorney, Fani Willis. So you have two things playing out here right now in Georgia in real time. One, of course, is the court case. We're expecting a decision by the judge really within the next couple weeks, but it could be any day now, on whether or not to disqualify Fani Willis and Nathan Wade from the case because they had an affair. And they had an affair and lied about it, and they had this affair prior to her hiring him to be the prosecutor. According to another person who came forward and said Fani Willis told Nathan Wade's attorney not to mention it, not to talk about it, to basically cover it up. So in Georgia, they have a legislative committee going on right now investigating this because Georgia has the power, the state has the power to remove Fani Willis from the case. So even if the judge comes back and says he doesn't think there's a conflict, although I doubt he'll say that, but if the judge comes back and says that, it doesn't matter because I think the Georgia legislature is going to step in and remove Fani Willis from the case as the power that they have under Georgia law. So I think either way, the Georgia case is toast. But let's look at some of the analysis from Super Tuesday last night in regards to Joe Biden and the problems that Joe Biden has going into this general election. Not just with the American people, where 72% now say the country is in the wrong direction. According to a new Fox poll, 72% say the country is going in the wrong direction. This is from the far right wing New York Times. By the way, the New York Times is getting all this blowback now for their coverage of Biden. It's hysterical. But the New York Times analysis of last night's Super Tuesday results for the Democrats. I share this with you. But yet again, there were flashing lights for a president who is struggling to rally the whole of his party behind him. Nearly 20% of Democrats in Minnesota voted for uncommitted in an apparent protest vote against Mr. Biden's support of the Israeli military response to the Hamas terrorist attack on October 7th. Mr. Biden won less than two-thirds of the vote in Hennepin County, which is the home to Minnesota. The protest was an extension of a campaign that started in Michigan last week, where 13% of Democrats voted uncommitted. The larger share in a state with fewer Arab American voters, but a large and active progressive wing, suggesting that the movement of voters pressing Mr. Biden for a policy change was gaining traction. In other words, they're trying to move this guy further to the left in a general election where he needs to win over general election voters. And the Democrat Party, the base, because they're crazy, they're still trying to move him even further left on issues like Israel, climate change, the economy, etc. I don't think the guy could get any further left if he tried. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes to what these voters are trying to do, it is to push him so far left that it'd be unrecognizable in a general election. That is a real problem for Joe Biden. It really is. because he needs to be pivoting to the general election if he has a shot of winning, which I don't think he has a shot of winning. But I mean, everybody has a shot, I guess. But there were other signs, too. In Colorado, the non-committed vote was 8%. The no preference vote in North Carolina hit nearly 13%. That is worth noting, as Mr. Biden considers contesting a state that Mr. Trump won by a whisker in 2020. It is far from clear what those voters will do this November, but should they back Mr. Trump, support a third-party candidate, or just stay home, they could cost Mr. Biden a close election. Minnesota wasn't the only state that cast a bit of a cloud over Mr. Biden's night, and a small indignity for the sitting president. Mr. Biden tied in the delegate race in American Samoa to Jason Palmer, an entrepreneur. You've never heard of him. Doesn't matter. There are no electoral college votes in American Samoa, but it's more of the principle of the matter. Joe Biden's got a problem. He doesn't have a United Democrat Party. He has a bunch of kooks who are trying to push him further and further to the left. So that's where things stand for the Democrats. And meanwhile, they're all trying right now to say that age should not be the issue. But it's not age. Age is not the issue for Joe Biden. It's his cognitive decline. That's the issue. That's the problem. Meanwhile, Trump is triumphant. And he had a great night last night on Super Tuesday. All up and down across the board, all over the place. Here's a little bit of Trump's Super Tuesday victory speech from last night. Cut number six.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time in our country's history. It's been sad in so many ways, but I think it's going to be inspiring because we're going to do something that, frankly, nobody's been able to do for a long time.
I'll tell you the problem right now that Democrats have, and it's all explained in this clip with Jen Psaki last night. Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow mocking the immigration issue, mocking the border issue, mocking the invasion at the southern border. So immigration is a top issue in exit polling. And this kind of reminds me of what James Carville once said about the Democrat Party. He said the Democrat Party has become the party of the coastal elites and the faculty lounge. They're so out of touch with America. They're out of touch with working class voters. They're out of touch with people. And this kind of explains it. You know, Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow, these are the people that love open borders. They love it. So they can't understand why the American people don't. Because in their mind, in their lefty minds, open borders, good thing. Got to make up for all of America's problems that it caused around the world. American colonialism and all the harms and evils America's done. We should have open borders. And because also they want to change this country by having all these people come into the country illegally, giving them benefits and then registering them to vote as Democrats, obviously. But the fact that they mock this and the fact that they can't see why this is an issue is the reason why the Democrat Party is in so much trouble. They are no longer the party of the common person, the working man, the working woman. They are no longer the party of Hispanics and blacks. And they're not. This is a party of the elites. Cut number 11.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like, what?
Ha, 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 ha. You people are arrogant, out of touch, elite SOBs is what you are. You are elite, out of touch, arrogant people, and you are the reason why the Democrat Party is in so much trouble. You're the reason. Because you mock what is a major concern for the American people right now, which is the invasion on the southern border. Because every single state has become a border state now. And instead of recognizing that, instead of acknowledging that fact and saying, hey, maybe the president should pivot here, they mock the people for feeling how they feel. But this is the playbook, isn't it? I mean, basket of deplorables. Yesterday, I played a clip on my show back in Philly, this University of Maryland professor who goes on about how white rural voters are, oh, they're racist, misogynistic, homophobic, blah, blah, blah. They hate anybody who's not an elite. They really do. They hate the people who aren't elites. Trump is a populist. I mean, he's a populist billionaire, and he goes right to the heart of the working people. He goes right to the heart of the common man, the forgotten man, and that's been his thing since 2016, and that's why he's successful in tapping into people. It's why he's a nominee. And the elites mock the American people for how they feel. Hillary Clinton did it with her basket of deplorables. These people did it last night at MSNBC, and they're still doing it. Mocking you for how you feel. Mocking you for your legitimate concerns. And then using the cookie monster to come out and mock you because you've got real problems with the grocery prices. You know what Biden's going to do? He's going to sick the FTC and the FDA on big grocery stores to start going after them and investigating them for price gouging. That's going to be his big answer in tomorrow night's State of the Union address. He's going to sick more government goons on grocery stores to try to intimidate them into lowering prices. But they're not raising prices in some scam to try to just rip you off, because if that was just the case, then somebody would be out there undercutting all the other grocery stores, because that's how the free market works. Somebody's charging a high price for something, but they don't need to, then somebody's going to charge a lower price for that item and then get your business. Now, that's complicated if you understand basic economics, but these people don't understand basic economics. And so they want to shift the blame and say it's the fault of the big evil grocery stores. It's big grocery. They're just ripping you off. And they use the cookie monster to mock you. They do. They use the cookie monster to mock you and your concerns. Biden brought up the cookie monster again yesterday as he was in the White House talking about the economy. Cut number five.
In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened.
You were stunned that the Cookie Monster commented on this? You were stunned? All right, we got a lot to chat about here on the Dana Show today. It's a big day as the testimony is going on in Georgia right now on Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade's luxury trips. It's not good. It's not good at all. Major conflict of interest here. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Our friends over at Hillsdale College, this is a wonderful academic institution, and they are dedicated to merit and character. They don't care about identity politics. And if you are unfamiliar with Hillsdale, first off, if you got a kid who's going to be going off to college and they're not applying to Hillsdale, you're not doing your job as a parent. That's not in the talking points, but I'm saying it. So here's the thing with Hillsdale. This is a great small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. They were founded in 1844 to do just that, to push back on this illiteracy epidemic of where our rights come from and the purpose and principle of our republic. And that's why the folks at Hillsdale College, they produce all of these free online courses. Now, they have a new one. It's a course on the very topic called American Citizenship and Its Decline. And it's not exactly what you may think. I mean, it gives into citizenship. It also is the American citizenship and civic pride. Sign up for this free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Now, it's taught by my friend Victor Davis Hanson, and it looks at the history of citizenship, and it explains like how in America right now it's undermined, not just by open borders, not just by globalization in the administrative state, but also identity politics. And so you can sign up for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting Dana4FORHillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Start your free course today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, Doritos is now facing calls for a boycott after hiring a transgender ambassador. That's right. Tortilla brand ship Doritos. Recent collaboration it's Spain branch did with a transgender influencer. Because, you know, why not? Why learn from Bud Light's mistakes, right? Samantha Hudson, who admitted to being a pedophile, according to End Wokeness, identifies as a non-binary trans girl, openly mocked victims of child rape, and an advocate for annihilating, completely destroying, and abolishing the family structure. So that's the new spokesperson for Doritos in Spain. Yeah, so great work there. These brands will never learn. Will they? They'll never, ever learn. But when it comes to food, you probably shouldn't be eating Doritos anyway. But you also probably shouldn't be eating or drinking sugary or non-sugary beverages, because they're both terrible for you. But artificially sweetened beverages, the equivalent of a medium-sized fast food diet soda a day, raise the risk of an irregular heartbeat, cause atrial fibrillation, never say that right, by 20% when compared to people who drank none. AFib, a little flutter of the heart. Similarly, a number of added sugar beverages also raise the risk of the condition by 10%. Now, I drink Red Bull, and I drink sugar-free Red Bull, but even if I drink regular Red Bull, it's still not good. I know that. I get it. I don't care. I just don't care. Miami Beach is saying, thanks, but no thanks. Don't come here for spring break. They're trying to break up with spring break. So the governor is now sending the state police to Miami, and the city has warned visitors, you better expect curfews, bag searches of the beach, and beach closures earlier. DUI checkpoints, arrests for drug possession and violence, and 45 state law enforcement officers are also being deployed to the city to bolster the police. But some people are now concerned they're going to lose money because spring break is a huge money grab for Miami. But nevertheless, there's also a lot of fights and violence, so it's kind of a mixed bag. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's National Procrastination Week, and it takes place from March 4th to March 10th. I guess that's the issue, because I'm just telling you about it today. And scientists now are questioning whether or not this guy really got 200 COVID shots. 200 shots of the COVID vaccine. Whether or not this story is what we like to call a fugazi or not, but according to this study in the Lancet of Infectious Diseases, this guy who's German got an alleged 217 doses of the COVID vax. It sounds to me like they might have some side effects with that guy. I don't know. I also don't know if I believe this guy or not. That's a lot of shots. That's a lot of holes in your arm. That's a lot of pinching and a lot of potential myocarditis. I'm just saying. All right, more Super Tuesday analysis here on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Our partners over at Gold Co. The gold IRA field can seem very confusing, and finding a precious metals company you can trust isn't exactly easy. So that's why I turned to Gold Co. Everybody knows government spending is not going to stop anytime soon. It's driving inflation. But you can add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. Right now, they have their free 2024 gold kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. And one of their unique qualities at Gold Co. is their education-first stance and the thoroughness of the information they provide. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit, so they'll explain to their individual buyers the economy and how the gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefits of owning physical gold or silver. And they have an unmatched customer service record, zero complaints, dedicated to transparency, no pressure either. And you can ask about their highest buyback guarantee. So protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does.
I love how she's lecturing Donald Trump after getting trounced last night. Welcome back to The Dana Show. Glad you're here today. It's me, Rich Zeoli, with you on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. This is what Trump posted to his Truth Social shortly after Nikki Haley made her statement. Nikki Haley got trounced, all caps, trounced last night in record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Much of her money came from radical left Democrats, as did many of her voters, almost 50%, according to the polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race and fights it out until the end. I'd like to thank my family, friends, and the great Republican Party for helping me to produce by far the most successful Super Tuesday in history. I would further like to invite all of the Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation. Biden is the enemy. He is destroying our country. Make America great again. So you see, he doesn't need Nikki Haley's support. That's the reality. He doesn't need Nikki Haley's support. He doesn't want Nikki Haley's support. And now Nikki Haley voters are just going to have to make a decision. And the decision is, are they going to try to defeat Joe Biden or not? Are they going to try to defeat Joe Biden or not? That's the only question. I mean, do you want 4 more years of Biden? I think sadly for some Republicans, they do. I mean, I really do. I think for some Republicans, they do. Luckily, Speaker Mike Johnson is not one of those Republicans. He came out and he described the state of our union, which, of course, tomorrow night will be the State of the Union address. And I can tell you a little bit of what Biden's going to do. He's going to blame grocery stores. He's going to demand more money for Ukraine. He's going to say that if we don't defeat Putin, we're going to have Russia dominating Europe and our American blood's going to be spilled in the process and blah, blah, blah. Same things you've heard a million times. And he's going to warn about democracy. I think it was Nicole Wallace yesterday who actually began her MSNBC show by saying this could be the last election. The last election in America, you know, because Trump would get in there and just there'd be no more elections. Speaking of crime, by the way, breaking news story, Governor Kathy Hochul of New York is now going to deploy New York State Police and National Guard to help deal with crime in New York City. So, you know, I mean, it's not a thing they're making up. It's not just a thing that the conservatives are saying. It's like one of those things where just, oh, you're just making this up. Well, crime's a real issue, and it is affecting people in big, big ways. But anyway, here's Speaker Mike Johnson discussing the State of the Union and how it is in decline and why it's in decline. Cut 26.
Tomorrow, the American people, as you know, we're going to hear from President Biden about the State of the Union. And I've been asked many times, as many of us have, if you had to describe in one word what you believe the State of the Union is, you've heard the word crisis, you've heard catastrophe. I think maybe a summary is decline. And I say that with great sadness, we all do. But it's because of this president and his administration that we are indisputably in decline.
We are indisputably in decline, indisputably. But he's right. I mean, the speaker's right about that. He's also right about the fact that based on Super Tuesday's results, it's going to be a matchup, a rematch. And you know what? I like this rematch. I agree with him. It's a good rematch because now Americans can compare. Really, and the first time since 1912, they can compare the presidency of Trump versus the presidency of Biden. Not what they say they're going to do, but they can actually compare the results of both administrations. Do a side-by-side comparison of that and see who is better. Cut 27.
We're very happy with the results last night. The race is set now. It will be a rematch, and we like that rematch. And from my perspective, I think President Trump, what his message is resonating with the American people, because this is not an untested theory. We know what President Trump delivered. The first 2 years of his administration, by just 2 years, we had delivered the greatest economy in the history of the world, not just the U.S.
And that's why people like the results of President Trump better in the New York Times Siena College poll. When they did that poll, they found that voters say they like the results of Trump's economy better than Biden's. And I know that there's a hesitation not to believe polls, and I don't, because I actually think Trump's doing better in the polls. I think people are still lying to pollsters. There's a lot more support for Trump than the polls are actually showing, particularly in those seven key swing states. But what I've always said in all my years in politics is that people don't lie about their feelings about things. They love to be honest about their feelings. In many cases, they view it as a chance to vent. So when you've got people saying 70% America's on the wrong track, they're not lying about that. When you've got people turning around and saying that they think they were better off under President Trump, they're not lying about that. They're being honest about their feelings. Now, Karl Rove, being the establishment guy that he is, he's got some warnings for President Trump following the Super Tuesday victories. Cut number 8.
Having said that, the high command of Team Trump ought to be concerned about unifying the Republican Party, because as we see in the in these states, a third of the vote in Virginia, 43% of the vote in Massachusetts going to Nikki Haley, a quarter of the vote in North Carolina. Maine has now dropped down to about a quarter of the vote, but it was 31% for Nikki Haley. Vermont, 48%. There's still some work to be done to unify the Republican Party.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a primary. That's what happens in a primary. People get to vote for different candidates, and it's okay. Now, the question is, why would those Republicans want to see 4 more years of Joe Biden over Donald Trump? They may not like the guy. They may not like his tweets. They may not like all these other things, but if the reality is that they don't like Joe Biden's economy, why wouldn't they come home to Trump? Why wouldn't they come home to the Republican Party? And it doesn't, it's not just simply a matter of, it doesn't have to get all of them, but Biden's got his own problems, as I share with you at the start of the show today. Biden's got his own problems with his base. The Democrat Party's not united. So I'm just telling you right now, if you look at the situation that's happening within the Republican Party, this is now a time for Republicans to make a decision, and the choice is very clear. Do they want Joe Biden, or do they want to just suck it up and deal with Trump, even if they don't like the guy? It's okay to have different opinions in primaries, but now those Republicans have a choice to make, clear choice to make. In my opinion, the overwhelming majority of them vote for Donald Trump. I don't see them sitting this one out. I don't see them staying home. I know they have this clip of this woman who was saying she won't vote for Trump under any reason and under any circumstances. She's a Haley supporter, and that's the end of it. I don't believe that. I mean, there's some emotion involved, but that emotion goes away, especially as you get closer to Election Day and you start thinking to yourself, realistically, do I want 4 more years of this? I'll give you an example of the out-of-touch elitism of many people on the left. Like, Jon Stewart's a funny guy. And I used to love his old Daily Show back in the day. He would go after Obama for drone strikes. But he's very, very rich, a multimillionaire. And he has a message to Mayor Adams and the millions of other everyday New Yorkers being slammed by the migrant crisis. Suck it up. On Monday night's Daily Show, the comedian slapped Eric Adams for changing his position on migrants, contrasting a clip of the mayor lauding the pro-immigrant message on the Statue of Liberty in 2022 with him declaring, "We have no more room in the city," this past June. He said it took 2 busloads of Venezuelans to get Adams to change his tune. Stewart snarked, 2 busloads? It's actually about 600 illegal immigrants a day, as well as over 100,000 total by the time of the no room remark, which was also accurate since the city has already been forced to turn to tents and taking over hotels and putting up migrant shelters in Central Park. 175,000 is the number right now. The hotels and the emergency intake centers are bursting at the seams. Migrants are sleeping on the streets, moving into homeless shelters, and taking up illegally run boarding shelters, too. And there was never a promise of free housing, free food, and free medical care. That's not on the Statue of Liberty. That's not there. But in addition to that, Jon Stewart's not worried about it because he has a $5 million, five-bedroom, 4,800-square-foot New Jersey mansion. But I don't think he's taking any of the immigrants in. It's on 45 acres. He has a lot of horses. He and his wife like animals a lot. He's got a lot of animals. But New York is in such bad shape that the New York governor, Kathy Hochul, announced that she's going to deploy 1,000 state police officers and National Guard soldiers to the New York City subway system to crack down on the recent uptick in crime. A total of, what's the number here? A total of 750 New York National Guard members and 250 personnel from the state police and the Metropolitan Transit Authority will patrol subway platforms and conduct bag checks in the city's busiest stations. She said this during a 5-point news conference shortly today, where public safety is my top priority. The brazen, heinous attacks in our subway system will not be tolerated, she said, referring to recent high-profile shootings, stabbings, beatings, and robberies. Just last week, a subway conductor was stabbed in the neck at a Brooklyn station. He survived that attack. But, you know, a lot of this plan in New York is also because of the illegal immigrants who were there. A lot of this has to do with that. A lot of this has to do with the increased crime in that, and the fact that you had Eric Adams last week coming out and saying, we got to get rid of the sanctuary city. We need to be able to deport the criminals. But they can't because they're a sanctuary city and they're a sanctuary state. But it's interesting that she's trying, as she runs for, looking for her political future, to save her political future. It's interesting that she comes out and says this, that she's going to get tough on crime. Isn't it? Because she gets the point that people are fed up. She gets the point that people want to do something about this. They're demanding it now, even in places like New York City. But it's a little too late. The Democrat Party has become the party of crime because they have a lot of prosecutors like Alvin Bragg in New York City, these woke George Soros-funded prosecutors, just like I have in Philadelphia with Larry Krasner, who believe criminals are the victims. Criminals are the victims. And they're the ones who need our support because of the racist cops and all the racism that exists in our capitalist society, forcing these people to turn to crime, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, you have a young woman who was killed by an illegal immigrant Karine Jean-Pierre still has nothing to share. Nothing to share on Lake and Riley. Nothing to share. This is one of those pivotal moments where it really exposes the Democrat Party's absolute, I mean, they mock it on MSNBC. They mock the concerns on immigration. They mock the concerns on the border. They mock the concerns that Americans have about crime in the streets. And they have nothing to share. Cut 16.
Will President Biden publicly address Lake and Riley's murder, allegedly at the hands of an illegal immigrant who was released by law enforcement multiple times on Thursday night? I know he's got a statement, but what about at the State of the Union?
Look, let me, I do want, this is such a tragic story and obviously situation. This is someone's life that was lost, so I do want to always acknowledge and extend our deepest condolences to her family and to her friends and the people who loved her. And so want to always be sure to say that, and because it's so tragic. Look, I don't have anything to share.
I don't have anything to share. I have nothing to share. And that's the way it is. I have nothing to share. It really is. They're just so callous and they're so out of touch. And this is the problem. They're so out of touch. But why? You ask yourself why. And the reason is what I told you at the start of this hour, which is that because the Democrat Party is not united, because you have so many kooks who still want open borders, they can't share anything. They can't make the illegal immigrants the bad guys because these are the victims, just like the criminals are the victims. The Democrat Party has a problem. It's a crazy people problem. And since they're not united going into the general election, they can't even pivot to a general election message, which is what you would think they would be doing. All right, more to come on The Dana Show. It's great to have you with us. Our post-Super Tuesday analysis as we're still watching what's unfolding in Georgia as well. Don't go away.
We have more on the way as we get moving and our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. The caffeinated as the day is long. And if you want strong, bold coffee that'll kick you in the neck, Black Rifle Coffee is the perfect brew for you. Don't settle for bland or mediocre. We're in the United States, and you deserve high-quality coffee roasted right here in America by vets, delivered right to your door with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. And you can become a member and get 30% off of your first subscription order today using code DANA. All kinds of delicious roasts to pick from, and it's delivered fresh to your door with no shipping fees. You never run out of your favorite brew again, and it's affordable. Pick your coffee, your quantity, how often your delivery schedule, set your schedule, and you're done. You can also get grinders, mugs, kettles, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today to get 30% off of your first month using code DANA. Save cash on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You know, the State of the Union address tomorrow night is going to be a lot of fun to watch. The president trying to read on his gigantic teleprompter. He's not very good at it. He really isn't. He's not very good at reading on his giant teleprompter. Here's a little example for you. Trying to read from his giant teleprompter, claiming his economic fission is working, all right? So tomorrow night's State of the Union address obviously is going to be on teleprompter. I just think it could be a fun drinking game if you count how many times he messes up trying to read. That's all. Somebody once made a great comment. They said, why doesn't he just turn the teleprompter to the screen and just let us read it? Be a whole lot easier. Here's cut four.
Fair competition is the key to my economic vision. To build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up.
My economic fission. Is he talking about actually fishing or like fission, like as in like fusion, like nuclear? Anyway, so that's going to be a lot of fun to watch tomorrow night. How we can look at just exactly how many times Biden messes up reading on the teleprompter. See, he's not good at that. It's not a good look for him. He doesn't do really, really well with reading things. It's not good for him. It's not a good look. And he messes up all the time. And this is part of the reason why people say the guy's too old. And it's not because of his age, because age truly is just a number. It's because of the reason that he can't really cognitively process things. That's why he can't take questions. That's why he had to tell everybody yesterday he couldn't take questions or he'll get in trouble. Cut number one.
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for November Tuesday voters?
That's it. Zip it. Get out. Don't say, get out of the room. Don't ask any questions. Get out. go, goodbye, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. They won't let him answer questions because he can't. He needs to read everything. That's why when he does do those fake press conferences, he has the note cards in his hand on who to call on. And if you notice, he has the answers too. Not only does he know the question, he has the answers all printed out for him. Now, look, I mean, presidents sometimes get talking points at the podium, but he gets the actual answers to the question that he's going to ask at his fake press conferences. So, of course, the question always becomes, when is drop dead hour? And by that, I mean, when does he get out of the race? Cut number two.
With that, I'm going to turn this over to Lael, the director of National Economic Council. But I'm supposed to leave for a meeting with the business roundtable on the telephone. But I'm going to hang around and listen a little bit. So with your permission, I'd like to stay if you, and my staff will tell me when the drop dead hour occurs.
Maybe poor choice of words. I'm just saying. Yeah, the drop dead hour could come any minute now. I don't mean from his actual death. I mean from his political death. How did Democrats keep this guy in the race? That's my question. How did Democrats keep this guy in the race with the way he's doing? I mean, it's bad. It's really, really bad. One more quick cut before we take a break. Cut number three.
When I raised this issue a year or so ago with some of my team, they thought no one's going to care much about it. Well, they didn't sit at my kitchen table when I was growing up.
Nobody did. They weren't born yet. All right, hour number two of the Dana Show coming up. Don't go away.
Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
You know, it's funny because Donald Trump actually put out his statement about Nikki Haley before she gave her speech, which is just proof that he just didn't want her endorsement anyway. He just didn't want it. Good for him. I mean, really, good for him for saying so. Welcome to the Dana Show. Glad you're here today. It is me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Great to be with you on our post-Super Tuesday edition of the show and the pre-State of the Union address. The First Lady of Ukraine was invited to attend the State of the Union. She declined the invitation. Zelensky's wife and Navalny's widow both refused invitations to Biden's State of the Union address. And of course, Biden has not even reached out to the family of Laken Riley to attend. The point of tomorrow night's speech, you're going to hear a lot about Ukraine. You're going to hear a lot about Ukraine, because if we don't fund Ukraine, we're going to have Russian tanks rolling over Europe and American blood spilled and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be a lot about warning you about democracy. It's going to be a lot warning you about MAGA extremists. It's going to be a very political speech. And Biden is going to, let me tell you what he's doing right now. He's actually bribing people. No, he really is. I worked in Jersey politics for a long time, Jersey and Philly. I know how the game works. In the old days, if you wanted to bribe somebody for their vote, you had to give them a bag of cash. But nowadays, you can't use paper bags because of the environment. They're illegal. So you have to just find another way to bribe voters. So what they do now is they send you money for your student loan debt. And that's what Biden's doing. In that New York Times Siena College poll analysis, they found all these voters who are turning around and saying that the only reason why they're voting for Biden is because he's paying off their student loans. And he's literally bribing them in places like Pennsylvania to the tune of billions of dollars. Even though the Supreme Court told him he couldn't do it, he's still doing it anyway. See, that's what actual dictators do. They ignore the courts. They don't follow the separation of powers. They don't follow the rule of law. They do whatever the hell they want to do. And that's what the Biden administration is doing. You know, the Biden administration admitted to flying in all these migrants, right? I mean, you know that story. We talked about this a little bit briefly yesterday, but it was a story that was reported by the Daily Mail. And the Biden administration admits it. that they secretly flew 320,000 migrants into the United States to reduce the number of crossings at the border. Why would they do this? They do this because they are open borders fanatics. That's why they would do this. That's the kind of stuff that you might say would be an impeachable offense. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. 320,000 migrants. A lawsuit revealed that Biden's Customs and Border Patrol is refusing to disclose airports where it is flying undocumented aliens from other countries. It comes amid a continued flow of migrants over the southern border. Biden's expansion of the CBP One app allows migrants to apply for asylum in their country, be flown to the United States, and given 2 years to obtain legal status. 2 years. Did you know this was happening? No, they kept it secret from everybody. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they're going. We don't know where they flew into. Nobody knows. And the White House was directly transporting them into the country. But what you're going to hear a lot about tomorrow night is you're going to hear a lot about Ukraine's border. You're going to hear a lot about Russia. For example, here's Van Jones on CNN. Van Jones was an Obama guy. He's a CNN guy. I'm sure he's helping the Biden people. I have no doubts about this. And this is the warning. If Donald Trump wins the presidency, that he said, and it doesn't get any more graphic than this or any more full of BS than this, cut 25.
If you want,
what do you think?
I think he needs to talk to her donors and her supporters and say, if you want to, a year from now, watch Russian tanks rolling through Europe, then, you know, endorse Donald Trump and get on that bandwagon. But understand, you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to see horror across Europe, and you're going to have American soldiers, sailors having to go over there and do something that we could have done with dollars. We're going to have to do with blood.
Mm-hmm. And see, something we could have done with dollars, we're going to have to do with blood. So you're going to get a lot about Ukraine tomorrow night. Even this is amazing here. This Democrat member of Congress, this guy Meeks, actually says, listen, you want to do something about inflation? You want to do something about inflation? Here's what you do. Cut 24.
If we had more grain that was going through, it wasn't blocked by Russia, things of that nature. That generally just, well, you know, says that helps bring the cost down. Cost is higher because of the disruption in the Black Sea that's happened because of this war. So that would help bring the cost down. That is not necessarily the policies just here in the United States, but that's the policy because of what's going on in Russia. And we need to make sure that we do something to prevent that if we really are serious about bringing inflation down.
Mm-hmm. You see that? If we're serious about bringing inflation down, we better send $60 billion to Ukraine. Got it? $60 billion to Ukraine if we want to bring inflation down in the United States of America. I mean, where do these people even come from? Where do these people come from? Oh, and you know something that is also important to note? In Pennsylvania, for example, where I think Pennsylvania is one of the key states that has to win. Key states. Whoever wins Pennsylvania, I think, becomes the next president of the United States. I'm not saying that just because I broadcast there, but I'm saying that because it truly is the state make or break. But also Michigan, also Minnesota, where Trump is leading in those states. Ask yourself if you think the average voter, the average person working for a living, the average auto worker or the guy working in the energy sector or anything like that, if they think that sending $60 billion to Ukraine is actually the way that we're going to bring down inflation in this country. Ask yourself that question. Do you think they would say yes to that? Or they turn around and go, I don't actually think that's remotely possible. And Steve Kornacki from MSNBC made a point that Trump is picking off Biden voters, not the other way around. You know, if you were to actually look at the results from Super Tuesday, and what you would see is that when you look at the polls that are happening here, there are voters who voted for Biden in 2020. Maybe they didn't like Trump's tweets. Maybe they didn't like any of the things. Who knows exactly? But what I do know, though, is that there are voters who, for whatever reason, maybe it was COVID, maybe they made a decision to vote for Biden, even though they had voted for Trump in 2016. Maybe they like the appeal of the kind old guy in the basement who's going to keep them safe from Trump's mean tweets or safe from COVID or whatever. I don't know. All I know is that they are coming back to Trump. And Steve Kornacki on MSNBC acknowledges much too. It's not, Biden is not picking off Trump voters like he did in 2020. Trump is picking off Biden voters. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. I mean, you can't sit there with an open mind and tell me that Joe Biden is convincing Republican voters to come back to him and stay with him for another 4 years, because it's not the case. This is the first time, like I mentioned, where you have a side-by-side comparison of both of their presidencies. Hasn't happened since the year 1912, where you get to see the effects of one president versus the other. Not their promises and their hopes and dreams and their platitudes, but their actual results. This is the first time that that's happened. And in doing so, Biden is losing voters to Trump. Even voters that Trump lost to Biden. Those voters are now coming home to Trump. That's a real problem for the Biden administration. It really is. It's a real problem for them. And the other problem, too, is that as you think about going into the State of the Union address with the economy the way it is, and then turning around and saying, we're going to go after grocers. We're going to make the grocers the bad guy, because Cookie Monster said his cookies are shrinking. People know shrinkflation's real. They just don't believe that it's some big conspiracy by corporations to try to trick you. They don't believe that. Oh, there's an update to that Doritos story I mentioned earlier. There's a Twitter account called End Wokeness. They're great. They bring out a lot of stuff to the forefront about all the little woke things that are happening. Remember during yesterday's show, I told you about the Department of Veterans Affairs had a memo that they put out, and they said that they wanted to ban that VJ kiss from Times Square, that historic kiss of the sailor kissing the woman after Japan surrendered and World War II was over. And then the Secretary of Veterans Affairs came out and said, oh, no, the picture's staying. Well, the memo was sent out on February 29th. The Secretary of Veterans Affairs came out and said that yesterday, March 5th. And a lot of people thought the whole story was fake news. Like, they were never really going to take down that historic picture, that iconic American photograph of the sailor kissing the woman in Times Square, because it was non-consensual. So they said it was fake news. It was a manufactured conservative outrage story. No, it was real. The memo was real. I shared the memo with you on the air yesterday. End Wokeness is one of those Twitter accounts that brought that to the forefront. They also brought the Doritos story to the forefront about that brand ambassador who had pedophilia tweets. Well, the update to that story is now Doritos has fired that brand ambassador from Spain that I brought up in Dana's quick five in the previous hour. Among their other scalps, as they claimed, Biden's VA rescinded their ban on the VJ kiss after it was leaked to End Wokeness. The vice president of Johns Hopkins and the DEI chief resigned over their privilege hit list. The privilege hit list, which went basically announced that everybody is a person of privilege. And pretty much everybody, except for unless you're like a black lesbian transgender woman who's not able-bodied. Otherwise, everyone has privilege. That person was fired, and there's some other scalps that were claimed too. But the point is that social media does work for good, because it gives us the ability, along with conservative talk radio, to bring this stuff to the forefront. The United States Agency for Global Media has suspended their CIO, James Reeves, over his unearthed anti-white posts. He refers to white people as snow roaches. The claims against one of the agency's top officials initially surfaced on the Twitter page of End Wokeness. And now that person has been fired after they exposed the tweets. So good for them. But when you look at some of the money that's made by the DEI industrial complex, the diversity, equity, and inclusion complex, it'll blow your mind. I do have some of those numbers for you, and I'll share them with you. But it's a good reminder of the power of conservative talk radio and conservative social media, too, that Doritos has now fired that spokesperson, that transgender spokesperson in Spain, who had all of these pro-pedophilia tweets. There you go. All right, it's the Dana Show. We got more to come. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Don't go away.
All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code DANA. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, let's begin with this story, shall we? This is pretty amazing. There's a man who has 69 rabbit tattoos. I told you about the guy who got 217 COVID shots. This guy has 69 different tattoos of rabbits all over his body. And he's only 42 years old, which means that number will likely go up. Guy just really loves rabbits. But he's made the Guinness Book of World Records for the most rabbit tattoos. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. This involves the part of a man's body we refer to as the family jewels. I'll just read the headline. Balls Out Bowling is back, where nudity is required. That's right. It's in Pittsburgh. It's a night where you can bowl in the nude. And it'll be on Sunday, April 28th. You have to be 18, though, but you don't have to be a professional bowler. So you don't have to be kingpin-esque. You just have to be able to just, you know, let it all hang out there and bowl away. Make sure that your bowling balls are properly polished before you bowl. It's just a pro tip that I'm offering you. Speaking of all things regarding family jewels, a man was stung in the jewels by a scorpion while sleeping at a Las Vegas strip resort. I don't know why these people would do such a thing, but anyway, he said he woke up in excruciating pain during his stay. He said, I felt like somebody was stabbing me in my private area, like a sharp piece of glass or a knife. I went to the restroom. I saw a scorpion hanging on my underwear. Afterward, the man and his family checked out early, and then the hotel comped his room. Well, that's nice of the hotel to do that. I would imagine that they should. I would hope so, at least, after that. I would also suggest maybe getting better underwear. Scorpion-proof underwear. That's what I wear. There is a solar eclipse emergency in Texas, as a Texas county is now bracing for fuel shortages and massive crowds. A state of emergency has been declared in part of Texas ahead of the total solar eclipse, which is happening on April 8th. And officials are bracing for the worst, as a dramatic influx of travelers could spark eclipse-induced chaos. Sounds like a cover band. In order to protect the health, safety, and welfare of both residents and visitors, Bell County has determined that extraordinary measures must be taken in the form of a local emergency declaration. So if you are listening in Texas, as I know Dana's got a huge audience down there, and you're going, just be prepared for some crazy, crazy lines. But this is the craziest story of the day, in my opinion. First of its kind, a Southern California man was arrested Monday on suspicion of smuggling refrigerants into the United States from Mexico. Federal prosecutors said he's the first person to be charged with violating regulations intended to curb the use of gases that contribute to climate change. He smuggled ozone-depleting chemicals across the border concealed under a tarp and tools in his vehicle. So if you smuggle in fentanyl or you smuggle in human beings, well, they're not going to really care. But if you smuggle in refrigerants and that causes climate change, well, then you're going to the hooscow. All right? First prosecution in the U.S. to include charges related to this 2020 law that prohibits the importation of hydrofluorocarbons, commonly used as refrigerants. This is the first time the Department of Justice is prosecuting someone for illegally importing greenhouse gases, and it will not be the last, they say. Unbelievable. More to come on the efforts to keep Trump off the ballot. They're not done yet. It's the Dana Show. We're coming right back.
Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. If you don't have yours yet, you should go out and get it. They came out with a whole bunch of really cool stuff the past year. And the Sub 2K, this is the Gen 3. So maybe some of you are like me and you already have the Sub 2K. Well, you don't have this one. Because if you're unfamiliar with it, it's a 9mm carbine. It folds entirely in half. Now, previously, you would have to take off your optics. You don't have to anymore. That's one of the upgrades with the Gen 3. You don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. The simple twist and fold motion of the rotating fore-end, it's patent pending. You can twist it in either direction. It folds the Gen 3 right in half and just as quickly and easily deploys it too. But they've continued to fine-tune this innovative and reliable platform. So they have some other simple upgrades as well that kind of push it over the top. The upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics, you got a light and 5-pound pull. You also have upgraded action. There's even a new chamber indicator as well. And of course, made in America, family-owned Kel-Tec values at their best. To learn more about this Sub 2K, and it looks like Sub 2000, Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need every country, including Russia. Russia is one of the largest emitters in the world. If Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce what their reductions are going to be and make a greater effort to reduce emissions now. And maybe that would open up the door for people to feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this point in time.
That is former climate envoy John Kerry. I assume he said that before he got in his private jet to fly somewhere and give lots of carbon emissions. Russia with carbon emissions? I thought it was that Russia has to get at Ukraine. Or is it that the Ukraine war is causing more carbon emissions? I can't keep track of these people. I really can't. All I know is that some of the dumbest people are absolutely some of the most pro-environmental Green New Deal whack jobs. As Elon Musk called them, the dumbest eco-terrorists on Earth. Elon Musk blasts the left-wing group which attacked his German Tesla plant. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's great to be with you. It's me, Rich Zioli from WPHD in Philadelphia. You can connect with me on Twitter if you like, at Rich Zioli. Elon Musk lashed out Tuesday after the left-wing Vulcan group claimed responsibility for an attack on a substation which shut down operations at Europe's largest Tesla factory near Berlin. According to a letter posted on the website Contropolis, the Vulcan Group, which is classified in Germany as left-wing extremist, wanted to protest against the U.S. car manufacturer, co-founded by Elon Musk, over its environmental footprint. The factory contaminates the groundwater and consumes huge quantities of the already scarce drinking water resources for its products. Tesla is a symbol for green capitalism. Elon Musk acknowledged the attack in a post on Twitter, calling the protesters the dumbest eco-terrorists on Earth. He went further, musing about why the group would target electric cars and not those powered by fossil fuels if their motivation is protecting the environment. Well, first of all, I don't think electric vehicles are actually better for the environment. I went through that with you yesterday on the show, so I won't get into it again today, but they're really not. But nevertheless, it is kind of funny how Elon Musk made the electric vehicle user-friendly, really made it something that the average American could still not afford, but with government subsidies could possibly afford. And they hate his guts, and they mostly hate him because of the fact that he's allowed his new platform, X, formerly known as Twitter, to be a free speech beacon for the world. And that's really why they hate him, among other reasons. But you can never win with the climate change crowd. You can't. There's nothing you can do to ever make them happy. I mean, think about that story that I shared with you about that guy who got arrested. First time ever the government is going to charge a guy with smuggling in carbon emission causing things, refrigerants, over the border. We've got people every day in this country, every single day, who are crossing the border illegally, smuggling in fentanyl, smuggling in human beings, and we don't seem to care. But when it comes to smuggling in refrigerants, then we crack down on that. I mean, the story is amazing. A Southern California man arrested Monday on suspicion of smuggling refrigerants into the U.S. from Mexico, and federal prosecutors said he's the first person to be charged with violating regulations intended to curb the use of greenhouse gases that contribute to climate change. You know, a lot of times what happens is you can't get the refrigerant you need if you have an older air conditioner or something, an older refrigerator. And so what happens is you have to just replace the whole unit. And for some people, they can't afford that. So yeah, there is an underground where you can buy the refrigerants. And I got a guy. I always have a guy. I got a guy. I'm just saying. But, you know, there's always a guy for everything. But the fact that they're charging this guy, Michael Hart of San Diego, smuggled the ozone-depleting chemicals across the border concealed under a tarp. He posted them for sale on the internet. He was arraigned Monday afternoon and pleaded not guilty to 13 charges, including conspiracy, sale of prohibited materials, and illegal transportation. You know what he should have said? He should have said the refrigerants were claiming asylum. If he had done that, they would have been free to go. It's the first prosecution in the U.S. to include charges related to this 2020 law, but not the last. This will be something that they continue to do if you try to get those refrigerants that are now banned. So dumb. I mean, it really is so dumb considering what's happening at the border right now. But if he smuggled them over the border of West Virginia into Virginia, then maybe Jen Psaki would have noticed. Then maybe all the lefties on MSNBC would have cared. I don't know. You know who's one of the guys that never ceases to amaze me? This guy seems to have nine political lives, is Andrew Cuomo, the love gov of New York. During COVID, he would come out there and give his three-hour lectures every day. Do you remember those days? It was only 4 years ago, really, around this time of the year, when things got going with COVID. I mean, I remember it was Friday the 13th when my kids were sent home from school. And there's all this evidence that has come out that those school closures have set our kids back in so many different ways, from their physical health to their mental health to, of course, their academic their academics. I mean, it's just been a disaster in every way. But it was about this time 4 years ago when things started to get going and the lockdowns that would follow and everything else. Well, Cuomo was also known as the nursing home killer. It's a moniker that I gave him because he killed a lot of people in nursing homes during COVID-19. So he would come out every day. He would give his three-hour lectures, tell everybody what to do, tell everybody what they couldn't do. And he was the voice of America, and they loved him. And they had the Cuomo babes. They called them the Love Gov. And they had all these women who loved him. And he was a sex symbol. He was an icon. And he would be for a few years until it came out that the guy was a total creep. Yeah, was groping women, and he was a total sleazeball, which would ultimately end his career as governor. But what really should have ended his career as governor was the fact that he killed all these people in nursing homes, his policies. Well, now, according to the New York Times, former Governor Cuomo has been subpoenaed to appear before a House subcommittee to answer for his administration's handling of nursing homes during the coronavirus pandemic. This is reigniting a flashpoint that could further damage his chances at a political comeback. The Republican-led Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic accused Cuomo of recklessly exposing nursing home residents to the virus with deadly consequence. You know who else they need to go after, too, is New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, because that guy did the same thing, but he also did it to our veterans. And hundreds of veterans died in state-run nursing homes for the exact same reason. A lot of these Democrat governors did this. Newsom did it. Whitmer did it. The governor of Pennsylvania at the time, he did it. But Cuomo became the face of this, really, because Janice Dean on Fox News lost her in-laws in a nursing home to Cuomo's policies. And she was relentless about exposing this to everybody. She did a great job exposing this. The Republican-led Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic accused Mr. Cuomo of recklessly exposing nursing home residents to the virus with deadly consequence. In a letter sent Tuesday to Mr. Cuomo by Representative Brad Wenstrup of Ohio, he's the chair of the committee, he said there's troubling evidence suggesting that the Cuomo administration at best downplayed the effects of its nursing home policies and at worst covered them up. The subpoena is the latest in a multi-year saga surrounding the former governor's decision to require nursing homes to accept residents who tested positive for COVID-19 in the spring of 2020. The decision, which presaged a virus outbreak in those facilities leading to thousands of deaths, has drawn broad scrutiny from state and federal investigators. In January of 2021, the New York State Attorney General Letitia James concluded the state had, quote, severely undercounted deaths in nursing homes. Charges that were validated when the state later revised its figures upwards some 40%. But while her office's report found that returning residents to their facilities may have put residents at increased risk, it stopped short of blaming the governor's policy. So they didn't charge him with anything. They did go after Trump, of course, for apparently inflating the value of Mar-a-Lago. But the Democrat governor of New York, he was unscathed by Letitia James. The former governor, a Democrat, has repeatedly denied that the policy led to additional deaths. A spokesman for Cuomo called the subpoena an obvious press charade, noting that the claims at issue have been investigated by both the Department of Justice and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, both of which declined to bring criminal charges. Of course they did, because they're Democrats investigating Democrats. And Democrats never get in trouble unless you cross them, like Bob Menendez. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey is a great example of that. This cat is as guilty as they come, but everybody's known he's guilty for years. He was investigated by the New Jersey Attorney General's office, not really investigated, but they knew of all the allegations that he's now being prosecuted for on the federal level. They just didn't do anything about it because he stayed in his lane this time around for a while until he didn't. The first time that Menendez was ever indicted was when the Obama administration did the Iran deal and Menendez opposed it. And then they went after him for helping his buddy, this corrupt doctor in Florida, bilk Medicare to the tune of, you know, tens of millions of dollars. But again, everybody knew about it. It's just that he stayed in his lane. And then when he crossed the Obama administration, that's when they brought charges against him. Same thing this time around. Menendez, everybody knows the guy's guilty, but he crossed the Biden administration on the Iran deal. And then suddenly now there's charges against him. So you see, you're allowed to be corrupt if you're a Democrat. Just stay in your lane. That's the lesson for you right there. With Menendez, it's particularly sick because the guy's accused of selling out America to Egypt and Qatar, two countries that are very problematic in terms of their human rights and also the trust level we have with them. And he's probably going to go down, and he should go down, but it's just the timing of this is what should make you think. It's when you cross them that they come after you. His spokesman said this is an election year stunt. They're a bunch of clowns. They're a bunch of clowns. Not we're so grateful that they're going to try to find justice regarding all the victims in the nursing homes. He should have been forced out because of what he did with the nursing homes, but Cuomo was not. He was forced out because of the sexual harassment claims. Now, the New York Assembly investigation that they did not directly evaluate whether Mr. Cuomo's orders had led to the deadly outbreaks in nursing homes, but it did find the administration had selectively reported statistics from those facilities to avoid criticism. It was a cover-up. It was a big cover-up. At issue was the New York State's method of categorizing nursing home deaths. The state did not include in its tally nursing home residents who died in hospitals or other facilities from COVID, effectively reducing the reported death rates for nursing home residents. In its letter to Cuomo, the House subcommittee accuses the former governor of delaying its inquiry, detailing months-long back-and-forth conversations about scheduling an interview. The subpoena will require Cuomo to appear on May 24th. They said former Governor Cuomo owes answers to the 15,000 families who lost loved ones in New York nursing homes during the COVID-19 pandemic. The subcommittee has also sought information on the administration's handling of nursing homes from the former secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, a senior aide who, according to documents and interviews, was involved in rewriting a health department report to obscure the number of nursing home deaths. You know who else should be investigated? Is Rachel Levine, Dr. Admiral Rachel Levine, the Undersecretary of Health for the United States of America, the first openly transgender Assistant Secretary of Health. When Levine was the Secretary of Health for Pennsylvania, Levine oversaw the nursing homes in Pennsylvania. Moved Levine's mother out of a state-run nursing home while requiring nursing homes to take COVID-positive patients. What happens to Levine? Gets a new gig, gets a promotion to the Undersecretary of Health for the United States of America. Amazing. Truly, truly amazing. I'm glad the committee's doing this. Let's hope we get some answers. It's the Dana Show. We're coming right back.
the people who help bring you free radio, the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They've been my cell phone service for the past decade. And right now, you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area, but without funding the far left, without funding DEI, without funding open borders and gun control. And when you switch, you can speak to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy for you to switch. Keep your phone on your number or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this headline is a little bit confusing. A Florida man was arrested after making a bomb threat against himself. That's right. Kyle McHenry told police he received the following emails. There's a bomb on your grandpa's property. I'm going to break in your house and shoot you in the effing head. I'm going to kill you. Watch me. He called Fort Myers police to ask why they hadn't arrested the person he accused of sending the threats. And then he admitted to sending the emails after detectives told him that filing a false police report is a crime. He asked if he sent the emails to himself, in which he replied that he did, trying to get revenge on other people to try to accuse them of making bomb threats against himself. After he was arrested with making false reports to police, fraud and misuse of false evidence, he told detectives he made a mistake. I mean, who among us has not made a bomb threat against ourselves? Am I right? Let's not judge this guy too harshly, shall we? A Florida man sues Carnival Cruise after a donkey kicked him in the Grand Turk Islands. Questions of fault have arisen here. So the Grand Turk port where they arrived, this Florida man has initiated legal action against Carnival Cruise Line. He was kicked by a donkey during a port visit. Claims his injury necessitated multiple surgeries. He blamed the cruise line for neglecting and maintaining a safe environment. And now the question, of course, is who's at fault here, really, the cruise line or this guy? He wanted to take a photograph with a local donkey, and then the donkey kicked him because the donkey didn't want to take photographs. The donkeys do not like paparazzi, all right? That is something everybody should know. Donkeys don't like the paparazzi. If you try to take pictures of them, they're going to act like Alec Baldwin and probably turn around and punch you. And that's what happened here. And so now the question, of course, is who's going to be in trouble? And there's broader implications for the Grand Turk Cruise Center, because apparently this may not be the first time that something like this has happened, but there's also questions regarding animal welfare. So take my advice. If you are on a cruise and you want to take a picture with a donkey, don't. They're just not very, very photo friendly. Now, this is something that the former Marine exhibitionist Steve Irwin would probably have a problem with. A new experience at Zoo Tampa will let you swim with stingrays. The animals are super friendly. They'll come right up to you. They're not afraid of you at all. And you can swim with them. Now, I like petting them. And I take my kids to the aquarium and they do let you pet the stingrays. And it's a lot of fun. But I don't know if you really want to get in the water and swim around with them, because it's kind of their space and they may not like it very, very much. So I'm just saying, may not be the best idea to go swimming with stingrays, kind of like swimming with sharks. It may not work out well in the end. Anyway, we get a lot more to come on the Dana Show. Mitch McConnell is going to be speaking very, very soon after he has endorsed former President Donald Trump, finally. And there is one less Democrat for Joe Biden to worry about in the race for president, as Dean Phillips has announced that he is dropping out of the race against Joe Biden for president of the United States. It is the Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli. Busy post Super Tuesday. Don't go away. The domination by Trump on Super Tuesday yesterday is leading to Mitch McConnell to finally come out and endorse Donald Trump for president. He'll be speaking very, very soon. And yeah, he'll be coming out and giving that endorsement. So I guess the only question really is what took him so long? I mean, you knew this was going to happen. You knew that Trump was going to win. But it's like anything else, right? I mean, like anything else, these guys are wimps, and they're not happy about the fact that they have to acknowledge that he's the nominee. Welcome back to the Dana Show. Glad you're here today. It is me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Our third hour on the post-Super Tuesday. Nikki Haley, of course, announced earlier today that she is out of the race officially. Have a little bit of Nikki Haley's announcement that she's leaving the race. She did not endorse Donald Trump. That's the first thing you need to know. She did not endorse Donald Trump today. She came out and she wished him well. She wished him luck. It was snarky. She kind of even lectured him a little bit. But there was no actual endorsement of the former president, which I think is just infuriating. It really is. So here's a little bit more of Nikki Haley dropping out of the presidential race today. Cut number 20.
I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
Well, there you go. But no actual endorsement, just simply wishing him good luck. Good luck. I congratulate him and wish him well. Cut 21.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
Mm-hmm. Well, then why don't you just endorse him? I mean, I'm just asking the question. Why don't you just endorse him? Look, we got a real problem out there with Republicans who don't play ball. And it's got to stop. I mean, it's got to stop. We're dealing with a left that is trying to destroy this country, a left that is trying to destroy this country. And if you get in their way, they call you names. I was glad that Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene pushed back against this BBC reporter, because I'm so tired of the reporters accusing everybody of being conspiracy theorists and bringing up all these. I mean, it's just enough is enough. And you got to push back on these people. And that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene did. This is one of those earmuffs moments, kids. Cut 18.
Can you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself? He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So,
what about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers, and really, why don't you f*** off? How about that?
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Biden lost yesterday to a guy named Jason Palmer. Biden becomes the first incumbent president to lose a primary in something like 40 years or something like that. He didn't do well in Super Tuesday. I went through the numbers with you in the opening of the show today. I don't have to get into them again, but just know Biden's got problems in the Democrat base. He's got problems. And when it was announced that this guy, Jason Palmer, beat him or tied him in America's Samoa, it's not the point about America's Samoa. There's not even any delegates there or electoral votes, I should say. But it's more about the fact that Biden is going into this election without a unified Democrat party. I mean, Dean Phillips just dropped out and endorsed him. But the fact that he even had a primary challenger, and he still has one in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You know, they're sounding the alarm bells that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could steal some votes from Biden. Because for a lot of these people that don't like Biden, but don't want to vote for Trump, the choice may be stay home, or maybe they go with RFK Jr. But even Brett Baer from Fox News was stunned by Biden's first loss yesterday. Cut number 7.
But we just have a call now. In American Samoa, President Biden will lose to Jason Palmer, a self-described entrepreneur and investor. He is going to win the American Samoa Democratic Caucus. This marks President Biden's first loss in the 2024 primaries. Palmer takes 4 delegates. President Biden takes 2. We saw uncommitted with more than 100,000 votes in Michigan. I don't even know who Jason Palmer is.
I don't think you have to know who he is. It's not the point. The point is that it is a problem for Joe Biden that he does not have the unity of the party. And a big part of the reason is not only his policies, but people think he's too old. They think he's too old for the job. So what they're trying to do right now is they're trying to say that the age thing is not a big deal. Joe Scarborough went on a rant this morning going on about how, and he dropped the F-bomb as well, going on about how Biden has got more mental acuity now than ever before. It's kind of similar to what you heard Mayorkas say. It's what Saturday Night Live mocked the other night, them telling everybody how Biden is just amazing behind closed doors. It goes along those lines, too. But here's Bernie Sanders on last night with Stephen Colbert, because obviously, you know, you bring on the comedians to go on late night comedy. Those shows are not late night comedy. They're just extensions of the Democrat Party at this point. But here's Bernie, a guy who knows a little thing about being old. Cut number 12.
Are you worried about his age?
I'm worried about a lot of things. But I think the media has fixated a little bit too much on age. All right. Age is a factor. All right. But what you want to look at is the totality of the person and what he or she accomplishes.
It's not the age, pal. It's not the number. It's Biden's mental state that is the problem. That's the problem. All right. That's the issue. There's a great piece over at Reason.com about this by Matt Welch. The state of our Biden is historically frail. Who are you going to believe during Thursday's speech? The president's protectors or your lion eyes? When President Biden shuffles out to the podium Thursday night for his fourth and possibly final State of the Union address, he will, whether happily or even knowingly, be checking off a list of State of the Union superlatives, starting with the wince-inducingly obvious Biden is 81, the oldest president to ever deliver the speech, extending his lead over the 77-year-old Ronald Reagan in 1988. Donald Trump would have to win in November, then survive through 2027 to take that crown away from Biden. It's not just the age, though. It's the wear and tear. As the last month's worth of news, commentary, polls, and strange Biden performances have amply demonstrated, we played you some of those performances. I mean, the guy falls upstairs. He falls upstairs, the stairs of Air Force One. And he uses the short stairs. He uses the short stairs now to go up Air Force One. Air Force One, it's so iconic. The image of the commander-in-chief walking up the long flight of stairs by himself, turning around to salute and then boarding Air Force One. But Biden doesn't do that anymore. He's had too many falls up, defying gravity. And so now he takes the short stairs. Joe Biden. And then, of course, when he turned around and he said, I better not start the questions, I'll get in trouble, the joke that we played you earlier in the show. They won't let him take questions. Sometimes when he walks away from the podium and comes back, they play orchestra music to drown him out. And he's a guy accepting an Oscar award for Best Supporting Actor and going on too long. They drown out the president of the United States of America. I've never seen anything like it before. But everybody is trying to convince you that Biden is sharper than ever. But it was James Carville who made the point, if Biden can't do a Super Bowl interview, that's a real problem. That's a real problem. White House insiders have called the operation right now Operation Bubble Wrap, to try to keep Biden away from the press and away from anything that could make him sound even worse. But the problem for him is going to be just reading Tuesday night or Thursday night. Just reading tomorrow night at the State of the Union is going to be a problem because the guy can't read. He messes up. He's got a gigantic teleprompter and he still can't do a great job reading. And this is the problem, too, because you have comedians who are making jokes about it. Saturday Night Live made the joke about it the other night, like I mentioned to you, all of which accelerates a pre-existing trend that leads us to the next Biden State of the Union historical outlier. In the past eight decades of Gallup measuring presidential public approval, there has never been an incumbent in a re-election year to poll so abysmally low before the big speech. Prior to this year, the record net disapproval rating for any such president was George H.W. Bush's negative 2 percentage points in January of 1992. 46% positive, 48% negative. Biden is clocking in at negative 21. Unlike some of the other names above, most notably Jimmy Carter, whose number there represents a brief rally around the flag period in the first months of the Iranian hostage crisis, it quickly reverted to his usual negative 20 approval rating doldrums. Biden's unpopularity has been miserably stable since about the six-month mark of his administration. You go back to February of 2021, he was hovering around 58, 60%. And it has been going down ever since to here we are now in February of 2024, where he's at 38% approval. He has never peaked above his popularity from when he first got in office, when people said they approved of the job he did, when he just became president, hadn't even done anything yet. And this is the problem, though. I mean, if you are going into the State of the Union address tomorrow night and you're so unpopular and you also have all of these obvious gaffes and you have the obvious age issue and you have everything else going on, you have a problem. And you can't just tell people Biden has got it. Can't just turn around and tell people, listen, this guy's sharp as a tack. Trust me. I've been around him. This guy is sharp. People can see with their own eyes. They see things with their own eyes. You don't have to, I mean, you can spin things and you can make people believe almost anything, but we see Biden ourselves. We see this. And I'll tell you something too. You know, every time you think about Biden's age, they try to quickly bring up Trump's age. Trump and Biden may be similar in terms of their age, but in terms of their mental acuity, it's not even close. So then they try to point out every Trump mistake to say, you see, he's also losing it. That becomes their talking point. Oh, you say, well, Trump's losing it too. They don't really believe that Trump's also losing it, but they're trying to make you believe that. But in doing so, they're acknowledging that Biden's losing it. And in the midst of all this, we still don't know whether we're ever going to get the actual transcript of the interview with the special counsel, who was the one who told everybody Biden, they wouldn't find him guilty because the jury would just think he was a elderly old man with a forgetful memory. So we're not just making this up. We can see this with our own eyes. It's the Dana Show, post Super Tuesday edition. Don't go away.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Now, when it comes to the world's richest person, you might be thinking to yourself, well, it's definitely Elon Musk, right? Wrong. Jeff Bezos. He reclaimed the title since the first time he had it and then lost the title in 2021 to Elon Musk. Jeff Bezos is once again the world's richest man. $200 billion is net worth. $200 billion. Elon Musk coming in only at $198 billion. I don't know how you can make ends meet on that kind of money. I really don't. But they always say, you know, more money, more problems. The other thing is that if you are using a credit card and you pay a late fee, Joe Biden is now going to go after credit card late fees. But remind yourself this, if you try to pay your credit card, your IRS taxes late, you will still be charged late fees and you will still be charged penalties and you would still be charged you'd still be charged interest as well. Yes, all those things, correct. All those things you will be charged. That's not going to change. If you try to use a credit card to pay your taxes, you'll still have to pay, I think it is, the 3% surcharge. None of those fees will be addressed by the president. California will stay drought-free through 2025 following two winters of epic storms. All those storms that California has gone through, the good news for them is nearly 100 inches of snow means that California will be free of widespread drought through at least 2025. However, they will not be free of homeless people pooping on the streets. That is expected to continue to at least the year 2027. And beyond. This is just insane. You know, I always think about the crazy kind of gangs that are out there. This is a group of cannibals, a cannibal gang, and they're now eating each other. Things are getting so bad for them. First of all, if you're a cannibal, why would you join a gang with other cannibals? Aren't you kind of just asking for it? I just think you're sort of asking for trouble. I don't know, but it's a sign of the times that we're living in right now. And this is another reason why gold has notched a record high on Tuesday as traders ramped up bets to start to interest rate cut by the U.S. Fed in June. So now gold is climbing. I guess we're going to see more of those commercials with William Devane, I assume, because people love buying gold. You know who else likes buying gold? Mark Zuckerberg. Oh, yeah, little Mark Zuckerberg, he's been hoarding gold, too. Well, all these guys, you know, they always keep gold in their big bunkers for the end of the world, with their end of the world food supply. And this is my favorite story, because I love dogs. A dog ran a mile to her doggy daycare to get help after a car crash. Melissa Fickle was driving to a park near Detroit with her dog Aries when another car hit her from behind at the stoplight that turned green. To her shock, the dog got spooked and jumped out of the open rear window. "I was surprised when she jumped out because she'd never done anything like that before," the woman said, recalling the afternoon of February 24th. The dog was very upset and she was scared, but she kept running and was soon out of sight. The owner was very worried, and it turns out the dog ran to her doggy daycare. She was a mile away. She was so happy when the dog showed up safe and sound. Dogs are amazing animals, aren't they? They really are. I'm not going to make any comments about cats in case you have one. I'm just saying that I'm a big fan of dogs. She'd run straight to her safe spot, and she was trying to attract attention to get help for her owner. They really are just amazing animals, aren't they? All right, so Mitch McConnell is set to endorse Donald Trump. He's officially put out a statement, but the question is whether or not he will really say anything passionately or not about the former president. This is now Donald Trump is, in fact, the nominee. And the question is whether or not the Republican Party will do what needs to be done to get him over the finish line, or will too many people stay in the way because they're just so worried about him coming in and actually draining the swamp. It is the Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli. Don't go away.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know, with the State of the Union address tomorrow night, Biden's going to be reading from teleprompters I've been talking about for most of the show today. But it's not just a teleprompter. Biden uses pre-written note cards a lot of the time. And this is a moment at the White House briefing where Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, got very triggered. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's great to be with you today. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. It's been a fun couple days, and thanks for having me. Hope you will tune into my afternoon drive show on WPHT in Philadelphia. You can listen on the Odyssey app. You can also stream Dana's show, of course. She got very upset, very triggered, why Biden relies so heavily on pre-written note cards. Remember, I told you earlier, he doesn't just get the questions in advance. He gets the answers in advance. And he constantly has to use note cards. They don't let the guy think on his feet. They don't let him take questions. That was the other clip I played you earlier in the show where he said, "I shouldn't take any questions. I'll get in trouble." They drown him out with orchestra music when he starts going on too long. So now the question is, why, if he's so mentally sharp, if he's so all there, why does he need note cards all the time? Cut 15.
If I may, the president, I noticed, had note cards at the border when he was doing his briefing there. He also had note cards last Friday with the Italian prime minister. Why does the president rely so heavily on note cards?
You're upset because the president has note cards? You're asking me a question about the president having note cards?
I'm asking why.
The president, who has had probably one of the most successful first 3 years of an administration than any modern day president. He's done more in the first 3 years than most presidents who had two terms. You're asking me about note cards? I'm talking to your friend over here, Ed. So thank you so much. But thank you so much for interjecting. Go ahead, Ed.
I was just asking why he relies so heavily on note cards.
I think what's important here and what the American people care about is how this president is delivering for them. And that's what he's doing. And that's what's the most important thing.
You're not going to answer the question? I'm asking for a friend. Are you going to answer the question? No, not so much. I didn't think so. All right, how about this? What about the transcripts of the interview with the special counsel? What about that? Can we see those? Because again, remember, the special counsel said Biden's got memory issues. He's got all kinds of memory problems. So if that's not the case, if you're disputing that, which the White House has been doing, why don't you release the transcripts of that? Will you? Cut 17.
Robert Hur is supposed to testify a week from today. Has the White House made a decision on releasing the transcripts of the president's interview?
I would refer to my colleagues at the White House counsel's office.
So in other words, you're not going to release those either, huh? She doesn't really answer a lot of questions, does she, Karine Jean-Pierre? I think the truth of the matter is that they're not going to release the transcript because the transcripts show that Joe Biden had all these classified documents at the same time that Hunter had access to them when Hunter was doing business in Ukraine. You think about the timeline of this. What the special counsel showed is that Joe Biden, first of all, as vice president, should not have had any of these classified documents in his possession. As a former vice president and a former United States senator, he never should have had any of these things in his possession. But back in the mid-2017 era, 2016, let's go back to when Biden was actually vice president. He had the classified documents in his possession. Hunter Biden's doing business in Ukraine. Hunter Biden, who is apparently at the time cracked up out of his mind with hookers and doing blow on their backsides, he's writing all these fancy memos briefing Burisma about Russia's capabilities, Ukrainian energy issues, what would happen if Russia goes into Crimea, what would happen if Russia does this, what happens if Russia does that. Where's he getting all the information from? At the same time, mind you, Joe Biden is the vice president, and as part of his portfolio of responsibilities, he's tasked with Ukraine. He's supposed to meet with the president of Ukraine in a week or so. That's when the phone call goes out that says, hey, you know, he's going to be meeting with the president, and we got to make sure that he knows about Burisma and the prosecutor and all that. I mean, it's all there. But how did Hunter Biden get access to all that information? Is Hunter Biden just a foreign policy whiz? He just really knows all this stuff about Ukraine and Russia and all this? Or is it possible that he had access to those classified documents? See, I think the whole special counsel report is really just a giant cover-up for that fact that Joe Biden absolutely broke federal law and probably the Espionage Act because he enabled his son to have access to classified materials, which he then used to help the Ukrainian energy company Burisma and then profited off of that. That's what I really think is being covered up here. That's why we're not going to see a transcript. They want you to be distracted by what the special counsel said about Biden's memory, but don't fall for that. There's a whole lot more to that than what we're being told here. And they're still lying to us about that. That's why you're never going to get the transcript. You're never going to see that. But let's turn to Georgia for a second, where more details are coming out about Fani Willis, the special the district attorney. There's another update now. This time, another witness has come forward to claim that Fani Willis and Nathan Wade had an affair. They were together prior to 2019, and that she told Nathan Wade's divorce attorney to zip it, don't talk about it, don't bring it up. She said, they're coming after us, and you can't talk about this. Now, that's witness tampering if that is in fact the case. Just when you thought the case couldn't get any nuttier, a late filing yesterday in the disqualification hearing might force Judge Scott McAfee to reopen the evidentiary portion of the hearing. This is from Hot Air, where it might send him running for the hills, and who would blame him? According to an attorney representing David Schaefer in the Georgia v. Donald Trump, et cetera, RICO prosecution, a new witness has stepped forward to corroborate Terrence Bradley's text messages to Ashley Merchant. Those are the text messages where he acknowledges that, yeah, they were having an affair. But even more dangerously for Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, Cindy Lee Yeager will supposedly provide direct testimony that Willis directed Bradley to keep his mouth shut about the affair with Nathan Wade. A new witness could testify that Fani Willis warned lover Nathan Wade's former business partner to stay quiet about their affair. Quote, they are coming for us. You don't need to talk to them about anything about us. She allegedly warned Terrence Bradley in a September 2023 phone call. The call was overheard by Cobb County, Georgia prosecutor Cindy Lee Yeager, according to court papers filed Monday by Trump co-defendant David Schaefer. Yeager will also allegedly testify that Willis lied about the start of her affair with Nathan Wade based on her conversations with Bradley. But that might be secondary at this point. If Yeager directly witnessed Willis telling Bradley not to talk to investigators for the defense in the case, that would arguably mean witness tampering by the prosecutor's office. This triggering event was contemporaneous reporting on the massive amount of fees Willis had already paid Wade in the case, $650,000. But the sudden interest on those payments were bound to start having investigators probing why Willis authorized such an enormous amount of fees to an attorney who'd never tried a felony case in his entire career, let alone a RICO case against a former president of the United States. I mean, think about this. This is a case where you're trying to use RICO, which is typically reserved for the mafia, drug cartels, and other people. You're using this to go after the former president of the United States of America. And you're using a guy who has no experience prosecuting cases and certainly no experience prosecuting RICO cases. Now, look, I'm happy she used the guy because he has no experience. But if you are the elected district attorney and you're taking on this case, don't you owe it to the taxpayers? Don't you owe it to your constituents to hire the best person for the job? An experienced prosecutor who knows what he's doing, who has experience in this issue? You probably do, right? But she didn't do that. Why not? And that's really where the question comes in now, because if they're having a relationship and she brings in her boyfriend because she just really, really likes the guy and gives him the case and he makes all this cash, even though he's not qualified to handle this case, and then she's going on all these trips and everything else, it's a real problem. Willis may argue in opposition to Schaefer's filing that Bradley wasn't material to the case and the motivation was to simply prevent personal embarrassment, but this wasn't the only case involved. Don't forget that Wade had filed for his divorce nearly 2 years prior to September 2023. By the point of the alleged call, Wade had dragged out discovery for so long that he gets cited for contempt shortly after. If the Willis-Wade affair began before Wade filed for divorce in November 2021, within a day of being hired by Willis for the RICO case, then that would be material to the divorce case and Jocelyn Wade's counterclaims. Remember, Jocelyn Wade is saying, I'm basically living on like food stamps here. This guy's making all this cash and he's only sending me $700 every other week. So I'm just barely scraping by, and this guy is making all this cash. So you see, that would also have been an issue that should have come out during the divorce proceedings as well, and it wasn't. So now you're also dealing with the cover-up in that sense as well. And by the time Mrs. Wade and her attorney had been trying to prove her husband's infidelity for some time, telling Bradley to shut up may have been Willis's attempt to interfere in the divorce proceedings on Nathan Wade's behalf. In other words, she's the gumata and he's going through a divorce and she tells the attorney, zip it, his business partner, don't talk about anything about us, don't say anything about us. Implication being, I'm not going to say anything about us. So if they don't have any proof, if we just both lie, then we're good. Either way, it looks exceedingly strange for a district attorney to warn material witnesses not to cooperate with defense attorneys, regardless of materiality. In fact, that tends to look like an admission that the information would be material in some way. After all, why else would Willis make calls to keep it quiet? That lends a lot of credence to the claim that Willis's intent was at least in part to evade accounting for an undeclared conflict of interest and arguably to deceive the courts in not one but two different cases. The September 2023 timeframe is also interesting. Last week, Megyn Kelly and Phil Holloway obtained and published the texts that show Bradley tipping off Ashley Merchant to the affair on September 14th, 2023. The text conversations continue throughout the month of September, with the affair first beginning being explicitly mentioned on September 18th. So, when specifically did Yeager witness Willis telling Bradley to keep his mouth shut? Before the text exchange? After the text exchange? Or during the text exchange? It's interesting to think about that in light of the nearly four-month gap in the text records. If Phony Willis began leaning on Terrence Bradley to keep quiet, that might explain the gap. So now you've got a whole other problem now. Now you've got an obstructive abuse of power. Now you've got the district attorney interfering in two court cases, all to protect her boyfriend. Let's recall her response to Jocelyn Wade's subpoena. Willis threatened to charge Mrs. Wade with obstructing the RICO case by forcing her to testify in the divorce proceeding. Whatever else Fannie Willis is, shy about threatening to exercise her power for her own benefit is not one of those things. So basically, Jocelyn Wade says, I know you're having an affair with my husband. I know you're paying my husband. I should get some of that money and you need to testify. What does Fannie Willis do? She threatens Mrs. Wade. Hey, zip it or I'll charge you with obstruction of justice for getting in the way of my RICO case against former President Donald Trump. But the question becomes, why? Why would Willis have that kind of influence and or pressure on Bradley, not just to stop cooperating in tax, but also to testify as badly as he did last month? Bradley doesn't work for Willis and he isn't partners with Wade anymore. But let's not forget something. Bradley himself got accused of a sexual assault while being a partner at Nathan Wade's law firm. That came out during Bradley's testimony. Bradley denied the allegations, but one has to wonder whether that issue might have played into Bradley's sudden reversal on the stand, or maybe even his willingness to keep talking with Ashley Merchant in the first place. I mean, think about it. If they've got the goods on him, and he sends the text messages and he says, I've got the goods on them, and then maybe there's a threat like, hey, we wouldn't want it to come out about the allegations against you. That would also mean that she's interfering in the evidentiary proceedings as well. It's a real problem here for Fani Willis, as right now as we speak, Georgia is looking into whether or not she should be disqualified from the case. More to come here on The Dana Show as we conclude our Super Tuesday special edition. Don't go away.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, it's been quite a day, huh? Super Tuesday, Nikki Haley coming out and saying that she wishes Trump well, but doesn't actually endorse him. And McConnell coming out and saying, I always said I'll support the GOP nominee. So what do you want from me? Not exactly super enthusiastic, if you ask me. Anyway, Trump is, it's it. I mean, it's going to be Trump versus Biden again. And now the only question is, who will win? Or will they try to swap Biden out? Because I'm still not convinced that they're not going to try to do that. I'm really not. I know people say it's unlikely. I know people turn around and say it's probably not going to be this person or that person. No chance it'll be Michelle Obama. I just have a hard time believing they can keep this guy in the race. Now, look, he may not want to go anywhere. I mean, he's the president. He's a crotchety old codger and he's stubborn and, you know, maybe he won't leave. But the thing about it, though, is that there are a lot of very powerful, rich, influential people at play here. And they still have the ultimate threat of Hunter Biden to use against him, because Hunter Biden does connect directly to Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. So don't discount that fact. I mean, I know people think there's no way to get Joe Biden out of the race. I'm not so sure about that. I think if they really wanted to push the issue, they could probably get him out of the race. If they really needed to, if they needed to get Joe Biden out because Joe Biden is going to lose and they're just that terrified of Trump, well, you got Hunter Biden, who, by the way, was just announced a short time ago during the show that he's going to get a public hearing. House Republicans are giving Hunter Biden a chance to publicly testify on Capitol Hill after he previously indicated he would be interested in such an arrangement. Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer invited Hunter Biden to testify alongside his former business associates, Devin Archer, Tony Bobulinski, and Jason Galanis. And that is going to occur March 20th. And will seek to examine President Biden's involvement in his own son's foreign business dealings. Given his repeated calls for a public hearing, we are fully expecting him to appear for a scheduled hearing on March 20th alongside his former business associates. So we shall see what comes of that. All right, Steve Jones, let's get our dopey clip of the day, shall we?
All right, so Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell is in testimony in Congress today. And Rashida Tlaib, who's never short of anything insane, led off with this. So let's see what she says.
Last question, Chair Powell. Do you believe that the impacts of climate change pose a risk? Have you been talking about that more?
I certainly believe that climate change is real and poses risks over the longer term, sure.
So there have been some that say, you know, higher interest rates actually makes it more difficult to build out the renewable energy projects and other investments required to prevent climate impacts. Do you believe that to be true?
You know, it's not our, I believe that we need to do our job that you've assigned us.
Wow, that's brutal. All right, listen, thank you so much for letting me fill in for Dana. It's been a blast. I'm now going to go do my afternoon show in Philly. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.